have a report in from a listener saying there's a car crash on the 12th Avenue Bridge.
Yes, overpass. Right? West,
overpass.
Yeah, westbound lane, which could become an issue if it doesn't get cleaned up here shortly because of the type of traffic it's going to see on 12th Avenue. Students leaving college because that's right by NDSU and towards the I-29 exit.
The rush hour traffic, we call it here in the metro area. This is the Mike McFeely Show, so be a heads up for that. This is the Mike McFeely Show on the Mighty 790 KFGO. It is Friday. It is 4:37, and that means it's time to talk some outdoors and have some fun to wrap up the show. So I want to bring in somebody that we like to get in as often as we can, and really hasn't been often enough recently, but his name is Randy Kreil. He is the Wildlife Division Chief of the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, and he joins us now on the Mike McFeely Show. Hello, Randy Kreil. How are things in Bismarck weather-wise, my friend?
I'm looking out the window at a mixture of snow and sleet and rain, and it's pretty ugly. But further south and west than here is even more ugly. They got sounds like they got some significant snow sticking. But the good news is that this is not the Friday before the pheasant opener, because if it was, then every road and section line in southwest North Dakota would be subject to a lot of traffic this weekend, and we don't need that just prior to the pheasant opener. And so it sounds like we're going to have a dry week and kind of dry things out, and that'll help a lot maintain landowner sportsman relations. So if we're going to have something like this in southwest North Dakota, let's have it this weekend and not next weekend.
And the weather is supposed to straighten out, it looks like, next week, and that should be able to dry it out, like you said, a little bit and make it a little bit better. If you have a question or comment for Randy regarding the outdoors, regarding rules and regulations, regarding anything else, give us a call, 237-5948, 800-880-5346. The pheasant opener, Randy, to me, it's always exciting. There's no doubt about that. But we're in a different era right now in terms of pheasants in North Dakota. It's not, you know, we like to pat ourselves in the back 5, 6, 7 years ago and say, boy, it's the good old days right now. We're kind of out of that mode, aren't we, when it comes to pheasants?
We are. And it's one of those things that things change incrementally, and people don't notice it as much until it reaches a certain tipping point. People need to remember that last year our total pheasant harvest was 30% less than it was in 2007. That's the third less. And we're two-thirds of the pheasants that were harvested in 2007 were harvested last year. We're down in that 600,000 range. And with the loss of habitat that we've seen in the last 18 months, and then you toss in the cold, wet spring and what our brood surveys indicate are a lot lower reproductive success, there's going to be fewer pheasants on the landscape out there. I mean, there'll be pockets of birds, but people are going to have to work a lot harder for them. There'll be a lot more congestion in areas where there are birds. And so people are going to have to kind of change their view of pheasant hunting a little bit. It's not going to be, let's get our three birds before lunch and then go watch the football game, because I don't think that's going to happen this year.
The bigger story that I want to talk about, and you touched on it some, I think, Randy, but there, you know, you can talk all you want about the weather. You can talk about a lot of different things, but we've lost all kinds of CRP across the landscape, not just in North Dakota, but really all across ag country in this nation. That's a big deal. And I don't know if we're ever going to see that come back. The numbers of acres of CRP, you can look at it positively and say, well, there's still all kinds of CRP out there, but there's a lot of it that's gone, Randy. A lot of that land has now come under the plow again. A lot of that, those cattails are now, you know, in crops. And I get why producers are doing that. That's fine. But that was really a big part of the success of pheasant hunting and deer and everything else in North Dakota.
And waterfall as well.
Yes.
All wildlife depends on habitat. When you have 3.4 million acres of habitat added to the landscape, that's a big deal. And it did provide a lot of opportunity and for populations to grow and people to have game to hunt. And at the same time, we had like a decade of decent winters in a row that really helped things out. But you're right, the habitat loss and the change in habitat on the landscape in North Dakota from border to border for a whole variety of reasons is going to have a real negative effect on our wildlife populations. It's going to be a real challenge. One of the things that the department that we've always pushed for with the federal farm programs is that we know there are a lot of landowners out there interested in conservation, but they got to have some sort of program that is at least somewhat equitable in terms of the economic value in order to put land in a conservation program. With commodity prices the way they are, where they have been, it's just you can't fault people for making the decisions that they made. We do know from landowners and talking to them that if they could have gotten anything even close to what they could get for cash rent, I mean, they'd take a loss even on some of this stuff, but not that big a loss to put land into conservation. And so I think what you're going to see into the future is a lot less CRP. It's going to be more targeted, to be smaller tracts. We're working with Senator Hoeven right now and on trying to get opportunities and options for people. He's going to be one of the conferees if Congress in Washington ever gets their act together and gets back to work.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with that, exactly. Senator Hoeven, we've been talking with him about things that might be able to be beneficial to both landowners and to people interested in conservation, and he's been very receptive to that. So we'll see if he can get some of that stuff considered by the Farm Bill conferees when and if it ever gets done. You know, at noon today I was just at home and I caught on the news that they're talking about the lack of passing of a Farm Bill could double or triple the price of milk. You know, that those simple things like that, because it reverts back to like a 1949
yep.
Farm Bill or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's yep. just, that's lunacy. Along with, and this whole government shutdown thing is lunacy, but. I think they need to play together because it's starting to have a negative effect on people in a lot of different ways. And we're seeing it even in the conservation community.
Text message comes into the studio, says, Mike, ask Randy about dumping 36 geese I counted in a ditch south of Buffalo. And I presume that the text messenger is a hunter or outdoorsman himself, and he found 36 geese that had not been breasted out or plucked. They're just 36 dead geese. What are the rules when it comes to that, Randy?
We would like to know about that. We'd like to know where that happened and when he found that, because that could be considered wanton waste of a wildlife resource. That could be a violation, and he needs to get a hold of his local warden and provide that information to the local warden. We have a warden in Fargo, and he can track him down on our website or call state radio and get the information to our warden. We would like to know about that. That's something that shouldn't happen.
Have you seen, you being Game and Fishery or your warden, seen an increase in that type of things with the early goose season and the more liberal limits with some of these geese? Because
not really, because the people have options. We worked with Sportsmen Against Hunger based out of with North Dakota Community Action based out of Fargo to get goose meat as part of the potential things that people could donate. So people have an option, and people can take geese and ducks in and get sausage and sticks made. I just did that today myself, and because we got into some geese here over the last few weeks, and so there are options for people. So they shouldn't be doing that if they're doing it. Have we seen an increase? I wouldn't say that per se. There's always been some level of that out there, but it's not pervasive, shall we say.
Randy Crile, North Dakota Game and Fish, our guest on the Mike McFeely Show. If you have a question or comment for him, give us a call, 237-5948, 800-880-5346. What's with the moose, Randy, wandering around? There's one that got hit here west of West Fargo. There's been reports of moose all over the state of North Dakota. You sent me a link earlier today of some moose wandering around Saskatchewan.
In Regina. Regina. Yeah,
what's going on?
Well, there's actually been three moose killed on roadways in the last few days. One by Kenmare, one in downtown Minot, and then the one just outside of Fargo. And we had a moose crisscrossing back and forth across the interstate in the middle of Bismarck. And that moose finally moved off to the north end of town, and it looks like it's going to move out of harm's way. But this is the time of year when moose it's the breeding season. It's nearing the prime rut season for moose. And so there's a number of things happening. Young moose are being run off by their mothers and bulls during the breeding season to basically move out on their own. Or there's young bulls that are looking for a mate, and so they start doing a walkabout, and they end up in places that they shouldn't. And it's not unusual, but it just seems like all of a sudden there was a whole rash of them this last week, and some of them ended tragically, and some of them didn't. The one in Minot was hit by a car right during rush hour in the morning about 7:15, and our wardens worked with the Minot PD and put it down and donated the meat to Sportsmen Against Hunger. That was a positive turnout for that. The one over by Fargo didn't turn out so good for them. but anyway, and the one by Kenmare was the same thing. We managed to salvage some meat and give it to the local food pantry. And so there is some positive to it, but these things happen, and these moose are on the move. And like when I got that email today about the moose in Regina, it's almost identical to what was going on here. And so, yeah, it is the season, I guess.
Let's take a phone call. Jeff is on the road. Jeff, you have a question for Randy Crowell. Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess I'd like to know if that blue tongue disease is affecting any of the deer around that Dickinson area up north there.
Up north. Oh, the blue tongue or the EHD, epizootic hemorrhagic disease. We started documenting its existence here in late August. It started with a deer in South Bismarck, actually, and it spread all the way down. We've had reports all the way down to Bowman. We haven't had a lot of reports north, going north toward Dickinson and north up toward north of I-94. Most of it's been in that Grant, Bowman Slope, Hedinger County country. And that's the area we had extra licenses left after the second lottery, and we suspended license sales. They didn't sell any more of those. And in the past, we've offered refunds to people if the outbreak of EHD is extensive and intensive enough. We won't know that till after the pheasant opener. Certainly, 10 to 12 inches of snow will put a kibosh on some of those biting midges that spread the disease. So that may be a real benefit, actually, at this point, in terms of the deer population. It might put an end to the EHD outbreak. This outbreak it seems widespread, but we don't think it's as intensive as the years in years past, which would be a good thing.
Take one more quick question for Randy from Jay in Aberdeen. Jay, you're on with Randy Crowell. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just quick comment on waterfowl production areas being open relative to the government shutdown. Randy, do you have any comments on that?
Are federal lands open, Randy?
Here's what we know.
you don't sound sure of yourself.
No. I'm just trying to phrase this properly. This is important. As we understand it right now, federal lands such as Bureau of Reclamation lands, Corps of Engineers lands, Forest Service lands, and BLM lands are all open for public hunting. The Fish and Wildlife Service sent us U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service sent us an announcement saying that they're closing the refuges and WPAs. We understand the need maybe to close refuges, but we completely and totally disagree with their decision to close WPAs to hunting. Those areas were purchased with duck stamp dollars for the specific purpose of raising waterfowl and other wildlife and for people to be able to hunt on them. Our director, Terry Steinwand, has been in direct contact with the director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service going, this isn't right. We can do better. There's got to be a better way to do this. At this point, he's still trying to convince them that this is a bad move, as is the director from South Dakota and the director from Wyoming is also participating and trying to get them to have some sense to this. It doesn't make any sense to – people aren't going to hurt a quarter section of native prairie and wetlands in the middle of Sheridan County, North Dakota.
Not staffed, right? I mean, it's federally owned land.
They're staffed through the wetland management districts, and they do have enforcement authority.
Oh, I see. Okay.
They do have that, but the only thing that some of their staff are able to do is enforce this. They can't do any other work.
Gotcha.
That doesn't make any sense at all. But that's what we know about it. Our wardens certainly aren't going to be enforcing that regulation.
okay.
Because we disagree with it.
So. Randy, thank you. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. Always good to talk to you.
All right, anytime, Mike.
Yep, you bet. Randy Crowell, North Dakota Game and Fish, love having him on.